Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very special Wednesday edition of Movie Crush, in which we crush to
judgment
on the film
Midsommar.
Midsommar.
Is it meant? I think it's the spelling implies you should pronounce it like a Swede.
Midsommar.
Yes.
So listen, guys, I went and saw this movie last week. Noel saw it over the weekend. We texted each other. And here's the thing we did not do is tip our hand at all.
Neither of us did.
The only thing you said is, I have a feeling we feel the same, and I'm dying to know, Noel.
Yeah.
Before we get going in earnest, like, just thumbs up or thumbs down. Did you love it, or did you like it, or did you not like it?
I liked it. I didn't love it.
I liked it okay. But yeah. I didn't love it.
See?
I was kind of disappointed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. You're right. We're on the same page.
Let's talk about why that is.
All right. Well, first of all, this is going to be full of spoilers.
Yeah.
If you want to see this movie and you have not, do not listen to this because we got to talk about what happened in it in detail. It is a film, the second film from Ari Aster,
mm-hmm.
the follow-up to Hereditary,
mm-hmm.
which both of us really loved.
I think it's a horror masterpiece.
I do,
too. Ways.
Yeah. And I had a lot of anticipation for this film.
Which is probably part of the problem, that our hopes and expectations were so high.
I don't think
that
so.
It was really? Okay. Let's get there. We'll get there.
A lot of expectation because of Hereditary and because of I knew that this was a folk horror.
Right.
Along the lines of like a Wicker Man
sure.
type of thing, which I think both of us are way into as well.
Totally, yeah.
So it was all there, ready to be like loved by me and you.
Agreed.
So, what are your problems with it? And what did you like about it?
Well, just a quick summary.
Okay.
It opens with I thought a really powerful sweeping shot of this. The main character's name is Danny, and her family is taken from her tragically in a bizarre murder suicide perpetrated by her sister.
I thought that was really effective.
It was a very effective sequence because the camera just kind of like roves through the house, follows mm-hmm. the first responders as they mm-hmm. find traces the like lines that the daughter ran of like gas lines, I guess, through the house.
Yeah, and
carbon monoxide.
This is after the initial setup of like, hey, I got a weird email from my sister.
Right.
She's talking to her boyfriend.
Yeah,
it's really bad this time.
Right.
She's bipolar.
Exactly.
So that's pre-credit, and it's a lot of stuff that goes on.
A lot of stuff, and it definitely implies that is the spiritual setup for the whole movie is this
right.
idea of relationships and grief and loss.
She's in crisis.
And family and uh-huh. like having a family that can be there for you or that isn't there for you, that abandons you kind
right.
of, you know?
And also her boyfriend, it's set up very early on in the common thread is that he's clearly about to break up with her.
He's
but now
checked out. He
can't.
No.
And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that in real life where you want to break up with someone and then something bad happens in their personal life.
Certainly not murder-suicide level bad.
Well, but like a grandma dies or something, then you're kind of stuck there for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
You can't break up with someone when their grandma dies.
No. There's a statute of limitations on that, though, I think. I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's definitely like—
It's personal.
It's up to— it's on a case-by-case basis.
Some people would dump them on grandma at grandma's funeral.
That's
even.
Very true. That's something like George Costanza would do,
yeah,
you know?
Totally.
So cool setup, very effective. I mean, again, like Hereditary, cinematography, production design.
Yeah.
Out of control.
The whole
points.
Movie looked great.
To a T.
Sounded great.
Yeah.
His sound design is always killer.
Well, it's this guy, the Hexen Cloak, who does his score.
Whoa. Did you say the Hexen Cloak?
The Hexen Cloak. That's what he goes by. It's just a guy. He's worked with Bjork before. He's a producer.
Of course,
and
yes.
He's made some records under the Hexen Cloak. I don't know what his real name is, but he did the score. And he usually does more electronic stuff, but on this one, it seems like he really leaned into more string-based scoring.
Sure.
But, yeah, good so, sport. You know, the setup is like friends. His friends are assholes, too, and they're all kind of, like, passive towards her and don't really treat her with any kind of kindness except for the one Swedish friend.
Right.
who's all about her. And it's like, you should come with us to the Midsummer thing in Helgador.
It's my family.
It's my family, you know?
I lost my parents, too.
I lost my parents, too.
In a fire.
In a fire.
Which will become clear.
Yeah, it really does become clear. I don't know. We don't have to spoil it note by note, but...
No, but that's the setup. And then they go to Sweden for this... week-long, eight-day ritual.
Feast
this,
kind of thing they describe it.
Yeah, this group of people who call themselves a family.
Right.
And then things go wrong. Here are some of the problems I had with the film.
Yeah.
Way too long.
It was way too long.
It was 2 hours and 20 minutes, and it could have been an hour and 45 minutes.
I agree with that.
It was overlong by at least 35 to 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. He really, like, I get that he wanted to go into detail with all this stuff, but, like, I feel like a lot of this movie went by without much happening at all.
Yeah.
Just
I mean,
ritual and dinner and a meal and one tiny thing and another meal and another ritual.
To me, I enjoyed the way the rituals were shot, but you're right. A lot of it was sort of, hey, look at me and how cleverly I can shoot these kind of boring things.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of great overhead shots where people are like waiting for the leader to sit down, and then all of a sudden everyone sits down and it's this like
those
domino
super
effect.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of really cool shots like that.
I thought that initial shot when they were pulling in, they were driving in, and where the camera
goes upside down
and then
gorgeous
right side up again, and then that great... drone shot of hiking, and I thought all that stuff was great.
It was really great.
This guy's super talented. I feel bad bagging on it.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Ari Aster is really a great talent.
Well, we'll get to that, but I mean, I'm not going to bag on it exactly. My thing was the story was just really thin.
Yeah,
and I didn't really. First of all, like other than Danny, who is the character you're supposed to empathize with because she's been
great,
through all this horrible stuff, and she is fantastic.
She was really good.
What is her name? Pugh. What's her first name?
Florence
Pugh.
Is it Pugh?
Yeah. He is obviously very good at directing intense emotional scenes.
Yeah, man.
Ari Aster got this like animalistic wailing and just, you know, totally pure raw emotion.
Very effective.
In the same way that he directed Toni Collette so well in Hereditary.
Yeah.
But basically at the end of the day, it's a run of the mill cult kind of story. It didn't really bring anything new to the table
for
at
2
all.
Hours and 20 minutes, not a lot happens.
No.
It's amazing. I think you could have, as much as I like a good trip scene.
Yeah.
And the mushroom trip scene was very realistic.
I agree.
Why was it there? They didn't need any of that.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. I think that was sort of to establish where she was mentally because neither to confirm nor deny that I have partaken in such things, but your mind largely dictates whether you have a good time or a bad time. What's going on? What's on your mind? And she started off like enjoying it and feeling one with the earth and everything, where she sees like the grass growing out of her hands.
Yeah, that was
really
cool.
But then somebody says the word family, and all of a sudden her mind just kind of like recoils in horror, and she has this total freak out where she runs through the woods.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, I think it's meant to be telling you what her psychological state is as she progresses throughout the film.
I don't think you needed it.
Okay.
I think after that opening setup, it's really super clear where her psychological places.
But she has to get to such an extreme place in the course of the film, which again, I still didn't think was entirely earned. The way she ended up at the end being totally acclimated as a cultist, basically, like I didn't quite see what mental break happened in her to go from A to X like that. That was an issue that I had.
One of my other problems was the guy who played her boyfriend, Christian, Jack Rayner. I don't think he was very good.
No.
And that really like affected my take on the film, I think.
He was also like, there was nothing redeeming about that dude. I mean, very little, you know, he was a thoughtless boyfriend. He was very clearly in it for himself, staying with her out of guilt and kind of like, you know, not wanting to be the bad guy, but very clearly having a wandering eye and not being there for her. I think the most interesting and compelling part of the movie for me was the way it kind of dissected relationship dynamics. Mm-hmm. I kind of enjoyed that.
Well, that's what he says the movie's about, you know. It's like a relationship gone bad, and then you're put in this most extreme circumstance.
Yeah. So my point is, though, the extreme circumstance almost seemed silly and ridiculous. I thought the more human, grounded moments were pretty affecting, where there's a part where the Swedish character is asking her, Like, does he feel like home to you? Like, do you feel held by him and all this stuff?
Yeah, that
this,
was good.
This idea of, like, why are you with somebody?
Uh-huh.
Is it just out of, like, it's because it's easy?
Habit,
you know, out of habit. You know, they've been together for, like, 4 years, and he hasn't even considered asking her to marry him and stuff, and or asking her to, asking her to marry him. And I thought that was real. I thought that was very well written and very, like, accurate. But then it tries to devolve that into this psycho, you know, like, acid trip thing that just didn't quite work for me.
It was thin.
I'll tell you why it didn't work for me, too, what happened in the end. There is an amazing sequence about midway through the movie where the old, the elderly members
we're spoiling the suicide scene.
They do a ritual suicide.
That was really fucked up and kind of great.
Yeah. But then it's like, how do you top that?
I know.
And that wasn't even a moment that was like, like they were okay with showing outsiders that thing.
Yeah.
It was literally like, this is just our culture. It's what we do.
Yeah.
And people freak out, but it wasn't like, oh God, there's some culty shit going on here. It was like, oh, this is just like a, you know, off the grid kind of like, you know, community that does this weird cultural thing.
Yeah, which is interesting to unpack because, and especially in today's age, as far as placing judgment on another culture's traditions, like, and the two leads, the boyfriend and then the other
British
guy,
couple too. Or
The British couple freaked out. Yeah. But I'm talking about the other anthropology student.
I can't remember his name, but he was in the Good Place. He plays Chidi in the Good Place.
So they were all took a very academic approach to
exactly.
it, which I thought was pretty interesting, and I haven't seen that much in movies.
But how fucked up was it that he knew what it was going to be? The Swedish friend knew, and they didn't say anything to Danny, who had just gone through this tragic murder-suicide thing.
He might have been like, hey, listen.
You probably shouldn't go to this.
You should sit this one out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
That was very out of character and very bizarre.
Because he was kind of a nice-ish guy.
He was a nice, like I mean, you know, he ends up being a crazy cultist in the end, but like, he was kind of like the...
I also thought those two guys, that whole sort of weird subplot they started about the... academic competition.
Very strange.
It really didn't go anywhere.
Didn't go anywhere. And it was like, yeah, no, you're right. It didn't, it was a device to get to the place where he snuck in and took pictures of that Bible thing.
And that's a bad way to do
it. It was a very bad way because he was so desperate to get an edge over his opponent or whatever that he did some kind of shady shit where he maybe normally wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that didn't quite work for me.
It didn't work for me.
That ritual suicide scene was really effective.
It was
though.
Very effective.
And I really appreciated the sound design. You know, like usually in a movie like that, they just overdo this is kind of gross, but the sound of the body splat.
Right.
And this one was so real.
Yeah.
And like, it sounded like what someone would sound like landing on dirt.
And it like bounced, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Because there's so two of them and the woman does it and she falls right on her face and then immediately bounces up. And it's not shown from up close. It's shown from, but it shows you that there's just nothing there. There's just like a strawberry jam swirl kind of situation.
Yeah, so the man leaps leg first.
Yeah.
And just...
He fucks up his approach, basically, you know? He did not get the 10.
And then
know?
Gets the old giant hammer to the face and the furthering of the ritual.
They're right. And that was a close-up that shows the smash of the face. And then they show it again later in reverse.
It was a little gratuitous.
Sequence. That was a little gratuitous.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. And
I
then,
agree.
Like, I don't know. I just felt like there was a big, long lull in the middle of this movie where not a lot happened.
Mm-hmm.
He could have sped it up a little.
It felt like he was trying to show her being indoctrinated, but it didn't click.
Yeah.
It didn't click. She looks through the keyhole and sees her boyfriend having this weird ritualistic sex with like the young fertile maid or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So like, you know, they have a thing where they have to bring in outsiders to make the bloodline not be inbred.
Incestuous,
exactly. So they drug her boyfriend and make, you know, he has sex with this young woman on like a bed of flowers while all these naked cultists kind of like parade around and, you know, grunt and stuff.
I thought that was kind of a cool scene.
It was a cool scene. Here's the thing with my viewing. There was a couple in front of me that clearly was either just like bashful or awkwardly laughing, and they were laughing that whole scene. It ruined it for me.
Oh, interesting. Because
there was like, you know, when someone's laughing out loud at something, you can't help but think it's a little funny, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it totally skewed my perception of that sequence.
Well, I thought that sequence was pretty cool. There were a lot of things I liked about this movie.
Same.
But like, the again, with the sound design, when they were all ritually kind of moaning with her in sync— And then that was paired with outside the building when Danny
right.
was
reacting
and screaming, and they all started screaming with her in sync. And it was like this pulsating sound. Like, that was really, really awesome.
That was really awesome. And what I was getting to, bringing up the looking through the keyhole and seeing this,
right.
That was like the linchpin the argument would be, that's the moment where she turned fully to the cult
side
or whatever. Because then she has the appearance of being like really drugged up kind of too.
Well, she is. They all drank that stuff, you know.
Yeah, but that was like a while ago. And it didn't seem like, it seemed like she was doing just fine. Just dancing around the maypole and stuff. Who knows? Maybe that's it's some kind of magic secret.
I think she was drugged up that whole time.
Yeah,
that's the implication.
So the question is this: it ends with her picking her boyfriend to be the sacrifice, and they sew him up into like a fucking bear. The bear, the obligatory bear. No, I'm sorry. Like the bear that was like, "What's the bear about?"
They
sew him up into
the
bear.
Bear's about.
And there's this like yellow temple thing they clearly have built for the purposes of filling it with ritual sacrifices and then burning it.
Yeah, one of the friends had already been taken and killed and skinned.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he quite pulled off when the other student sneaks in and gets the book and he gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't fully get that guy was wearing Josh's face.
I did.
You did?
I had to confirm it with a friend though, because I've seen that in other films. The face looked very puffy and like you could see other eyes behind the eyes kind of, you know?
Yeah, I just didn't recognize it as Josh, I guess.
It just, because he's already got kind of a little bit of an odd look, and then that made it even more strange.
Peel it off his skull?
No, what's his face? The kid who was in Bandersnatch. Why am I forgetting? Will Poulter, I think is his name.
Yeah.
He's kind of got like a little bit of a cartoony kind of look to him. So I almost for a second wasn't like, wait a minute, is he just on drugs and that's why his face is all slacked up like that? Or wait, oh no, maybe I think that's his face on somebody else.
Yeah. But, yeah, I didn't quite get that.
And then
I figured that's who it was.
Then they show him later where he's got the little jester hat on at the end. He's in a wheelbarrow. That was him again.
Right.
But he was like shrunken, so like it was like
his
face was.
Well, I think everyone was disemboweled, like they were stuffed with hay, right?
Yeah, it seems like that. That's right.
And it was just sort of skin, because when they were putting them in the room,
they were all floppy.
Yeah, they weighed like nothing.
That's right.
And then, I mean, I thought the setup for the twist, but it really isn't a twist. That was kind of the problem.
The twist being that she picks her boyfriend?
Yeah, and they needed two outsiders, two volunteers, and then one to be chosen by you, or however it was set up.
Right.
I kind of get that, but I don't know, man. That's your whole movie?
No, I agree. And also, like, wasn't it kind of just coincidence that she ended up going along? Like it made it seem like it was like the plan or something, but it didn't seem like there was any way they could have influenced that to happen.
Maybe it would have been better
if the murder suicide. What if the murder suicide had been somehow connected to the cult from the beginning?
Well, right, like the Swedish guy planted that, like maybe did the murder suicide to get her over there, and like you saw no behind the scenes like him trying to get her there.
No, nothing. It all seemed very
circumstantial. But was she necessary to be there? I guess they needed all the outsiders though, right?
Well, she was just a bonus kind of, right?
Right.
But then he gets all excited about it, but it's almost like
she's the
May
Queen.
It almost just like occurred to him like, oh shit, this is kind of a cool idea. Let's roll with this. But it definitely didn't seem like there was any like methodical planning that led to any of the stuff that went down.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
There wasn't enough stuff with the elders either, like the elders of the camp, I kept waiting to have a bigger role.
Yeah.
And they would just kind of come through every now and then and say something.
Right.
Like, what happened for 2 hours and 20 minutes? It's a long-ass movie.
I know. That's why, like, we've been at this for 18 minutes, and we've pretty much summed up the movie, I would say.
Yeah.
Or at least the big beats. All the stuff in between, there's a lot of dancing, there's a lot of singing, a lot of weird kind of pageantry.
Like the British couple disappears.
Yeah.
So that happened.
And then there's the whole thing where it's like they have to explain away why these people are disappearing, and they do it pretty poorly.
Yeah.
But yet everyone's kind of like fine with it, you know? Like,
I know. It was clunky.
People didn't behave like people behave.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the thing
You're
is,
right.
What this movie was trying to be was a smarter version of like this, you know, murder fodder where the dumb teenagers just get murdered all the time because they're stupid.
Yeah.
This was trying to be smarter than that, but it didn't quite hit the mark, you know?
I think you're right, man.
Yeah.
That may have been one of my underlying issues is like when Connie and the two Brits, when they disappear, like, she mentions it, and then it's just sort of like, yeah, they, you know, they left, I guess.
Yeah, what a dick. Yeah, no, big time, yeah.
And why didn't any of them leave?
Right.
They could have just left. There was no, like, none of it felt threatening, like, that they were trapped, you know?
Well, I mean, it became very clear, too, that these cultists or whatever, they didn't, like, have, like, guns or anything. Like,
no.
All they had was, like, magic mushrooms and hammers and, you know.
I mean, I think,
like,
that was maybe the point.
It was the point, yeah, for sure.
I appreciated that it was a movie that was took place mostly in daylight.
That was fun.
Which is a nice little spin on the
sure.
horror, but yeah. I also wasn't very scared during much of it.
I did not find it scary at all. In fact, I had a couple of friends that I was trying to get to go with me, and they were like, both of these folks are anti-horror movie. So, like, no way, I'm not going. The trailer says it's terrifying in all caps, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, but yet they're into stuff like Game of Thrones. So to me, this was almost more like a weird ritualistic fantasy kind of fairy tale thing than it was like a proper horror.
Well,
there's no jump scares.
Sure.
You know,
I think it was supposed to be sort of a fairy tale. I mean, it definitely like leaned into the Grimm brothers sort of feel.
Love that. Loved that aspect of it.
But there were also a lot of ham-fisted sort of really obvious like foreshadowing. You know, like at the beginning with her apartment, those posters on the wall.
Right, of the bear.
Yeah, the little girl
princess.
Kissing the bear
and
the fucked up, like, cannibalistic orgy on the other side of the
right.
wall or
that's
whatever
right.
that was.
Right.
It was I just kind of like, come on, man, like, you're better than that.
Well, I agree. In Hereditary, I thought he used that iconography stuff much more subtly.
Yeah.
You saw it, like, in the one book or the,
right.
or you saw some symbols that appeared a couple of times, you know, the Paimon symbol or whatever.
Uh-huh.
In this one, he, like, took that and, like, you know, times X 10, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's all over the place. It is kind of fun if you look at the images, the pictograms or whatever. You can see little pieces of all the stuff that happens in the movie.
Well, yeah, and apparently that opening image is the entire film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if you were on time, but
I was.
The movie opens with just a big picture, and that's the entire film kind of played out.
No wonder we were able to describe it in 15 minutes.
I did like all the pictograms.
No, so, yeah.
And the sets, like the interior of
beautiful.
The bunk room.
Beautiful.
It's really nice.
Yeah. I mean, the guy has got an eye for framing, you know, and an eye for like detail and stuff. I mean, I really like that part of it a lot. I just didn't find myself that disturbed. Not like I'm looking to go to a movie to be disturbed, but.
Well, I think you are in this case.
I felt like it was going to pack more of a punch than it ultimately did. Hereditary, like, it stayed with me. For a while. This one didn't really.
Didn't stay with me. And I thought the end with the final big reveal of what happened to the British guy
mm-hmm.
was that he had been splayed open
right.
and hung upside down, but still was alive. Because remember, his lungs were inflating and deflating.
Oh, I did not notice that.
Yeah, his lungs were outside of his body, like on his back, like wings, and they were inflating and deflating.
Oh, God, I did not notice that. Oh.
So how does that happen, A?
Yeah.
But B, like, it just felt sort of like, and with the ritual suicide, how gratuitous it got with the hammer, like, a little bit of a cheap, just like, oh, watch how fucked up, like, I'm going to make this so fucked up.
Yeah.
And not like, well, what story are you trying to tell? Not like, how fucked up I'm going to make this death scene.
Right.
Or this, like, disembowelment.
Right.
That's lazy.
I also found the splayed display. Shit like that usually creeps me out.
Yeah, that one didn't creep me out.
Didn't creep me out. I thought it was kind of silly looking.
Me too.
Yeah. Didn't creep me out. I don't, and it's, I don't know. No, to, you know, I have a thing too. I saw this with Casey Pegram.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
what did Casey think?
We were kind of on the same page about it. We talked about it immediately after. We haven't like revisited it. I've mm-hmm. had a little bit of time to sit with it, but he liked the beauty of it. He loved Hereditary. We both agreed that was a much better film,
mm-hmm.
but, We both liked the relationshipy dialogue stuff a lot, actually, mm-hmm. but we didn't find it particularly scary.
And it didn't feel like revenge at the end when she assigns her boyfriend to death.
Yeah, because like what? Because he was like
not
mean
attentive.
To her. Yeah, he wasn't like abusive. I mean, he was just kind of a schmuck.
Yeah,
you know, he was just like and couldn't she have broken up with him? Like,
sure. I mean, you get, and I do like the realism of someone staying in a toxic relationship for wrong reasons.
Right.
Like, that's all valid. But I don't know, man. It just didn't feel like, oh, she got him in the end.
But, okay, I mean, again, I don't want to sound like an apologist for asshole men. It wasn't that toxic. He was just kind of a bad, unattentive boyfriend.
Yeah.
He wasn't hateful to her. Yeah, he wasn't, like, terrible to her, exactly.
Yeah.
He just didn't really give her the...
Yeah, the stakes weren't correct.
Yeah, it didn't feel... It felt like out of whack, out of sync.
It was out of whack.
My theory...
you felt this way. I thought you were going to come in here and loved it, and I would have been like, oh, boy.
No, no. My theory, too, is, like, it came out absurdly quickly on the tale of Hereditary.
Oh, well, that's true.
You know?
And he didn't... This was not his original idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was approached and said, how about a movie about this Swedish... cult ritual in Sweden. And at first, apparently, he said no. And then he was like, actually, let me think about this. Uh-huh. And I could do it in this such a way. And so that's always a little weird when, like, a studio says, hey, why don't you do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if there is something to the fact that it just came out so crazy quickly. And maybe they had no way of knowing that Hereditary was going to be such a smash. And then it's like, okay, kid, we got to get you another picture out, right? You know?
Maybe.
As soon as possible.
I got this script on my desk.
I got the script on my desk.
It's called Midsummer. Yeah. And he went, but what if it's spelled with an O and two M's?
Yeah, like the Vavavitch, you know?
Or I guess it would be an O and an A. There are two M's in summer.
Is it thumb time? What do you think? You got anything else?
Well, what do we do? 1 out of 5 thumbs?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me give this. Well, do you know your thumb?
I'm a solid 2 thumbs on this one. 2.5 maybe.
I think I'm going to go to 2.5 thumbs just for the... I did like a lot of it. It doesn't sound like it. Listening to this review.
No.
But there were a lot of things I did like. It was just a little off.
Yeah. Something about it just didn't quite click.
And I think I'm disappointed because it could and should have been great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in the end, I kept waiting for some bigger, not even twist, but like everything that happens is sort of like, oh yeah, well, that's what I thought was going to happen.
Well, one thing I will say is I really thought that the cult people initially seemed really nice and interesting and like caring. And ultimately, what you could argue what brought her into this situation is that they were so attentive to her and caring towards her and made her feel like family that she didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would have been good to do more flashbacks or any flashbacks to her with her parents and her with her sister. I thought that was a squandered storyline.
Yeah.
All they ever did was do scary, creepy flashbacks where it's like, oh, there they are dead.
Yeah.
But it would have been more impactful to see them alive or to see what her sister was like or to have connected that storyline back to the death cult. Why didn't they do that? I just don't, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't have been that hard.
I know. And I felt like you could have cut 20 minutes out of these rituals, still gotten that point across.
Had a 20 minutes of story.
Yeah, or 10 minutes of story,
right.
Or, you know, just, I don't know, it was just slightly off.
Yep.
It's getting decent reviews.
It is. I mean, it's clocking a solid 90, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, those are just dumb people.
That's fair.
What do movie critics think? They're the only thing that matters.
What's the audience score? That's the big tell. If you look at the critic score versus the audience score.
Oh, I don't even know.
Let's see.
Is Rotten Tomatoes do filter?
Do.
I thought
that
Metacritic was the critic.
They both do.
Oh, okay.
Rotten Tomatoes, let's see. So Midsommar is sitting at 83%, so not a 90.
Oh, interesting. All
and
right. Well,
the audience score is 62% versus the critic score, which is 83%.
Interesting. Critics liked it more, huh?
Yeah, and that's 230 critic reviews and 2,051 audience reviews. So not the best audience score. Considering how many.
I mean, I've seen things in the reviews like, there's nothing else like it in the movies. I'm like, well, but there kind of has been. This is not the newest ground, you know?
It did.
Folk horror is a subgenre.
It did do a nice little twist on that genre a bit, but not enough. I thought it needed, you know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like everything happened just the way you would have expected it to happen. Of course the cult people are actually bad.
Yeah.
Of course everyone's going to get murdered ritualistically. Of course that's what's going to happen. And it totally happens.
Yeah, I was never surprised.
No.
I think that was one of the problems. Whereas Hereditary, I never knew what was going to happen next.
No, never.
And this, like everything that happened next was exactly what I thought was going to happen next.
And there was no supernatural element at all, which I was a little disappointed. Maybe, you know, he could argue, oh, that makes it more cool. But it would have been fun if there was some kind of supernatural element. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 2.5 though, because I thought Florence Pugh was really, really great.
Is she in anything else?
I'm not sure her background.
I don't know her. She's fantastic though.
I think she's pretty new. Let me see, English actress. Interesting. She played Lady Macbeth. Yeah, she's got the goods for sure. She's only 23 years old. But aside from that, it was kind of run of the mill. I was disappointed.
Agreed.
All right, 2.5 thumbs each.
2.5 thumbs.
5 total thumbs.
So between the two of us, it's a 100%.
All right, well, thanks, Noel. I enjoyed that.
No, it was good.
It was good to crush it out on something again.
It's interesting, though. I feel like we've hung out doing this enough that we kind of know each other's tastes.
Sure.
I felt like we were going to be like pretty much dead on about this.
We were, man. Mm-hmm. Look at us. We're like the same person.
It's very true.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. I'd love to hear back from you. Maybe we'll open up a thread on the Facebook page on Midsommar and see what you thought about it. I certainly would recommend that you see it, because tastes are different, and there was enough to like here. I didn't feel like I wasted my time at the movies. You didn't feel that way, did you? Like it was a big waste of time?
No. Oh, by the way, I know we're wrapping really quick. I had a double feature day yesterday.
What else?
I saw this in the morning-ish, kind of like around noon. I met Casey for lunch, early lunch at 11, and we went and saw the movie. And then I saw this movie, Echo in the Canyon. It's a documentary.
Yeah, I
didn't like it.
Oh, the Laurel Canyon documentary.
You know why I didn't like it?
Because wasn't it Jacob Dylan?
Fucking Jacob Dylan, man. he covers all the songs, and he's got some amazing backing players like Cat Power and like Beck.
So he directed it, right?
I don't know if he directed it. Maybe he did, but he's...
So he covers all these songs in the film?
As part of like a concert movie.
Oh, God.
It's really self-indulgent, and it's not only that. It's like him in the studio, and it's just very self-aggrandizing of Jacob Dylan. And he has the most dull singing delivery like ever of all time. So that really turned me off about it. But all the interviews and stuff, like it's got like interview with what I forget the name of the really beautiful singer from the Mamas and the Papas, the middle one,
Michelle.
I can't remember her
Michelle.
Name. No idea. Doesn't matter. She's in it, and like Tom Petty's in it, and you know, Crosby and Stills, Neil Young, not in it.
He wasn't?
No. But it was really good, that part. But then every time it would go to Jacob Dylan covering these songs, I would just like eye roll and like tune out.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
And they would play the whole song.
So you saw that after Midsommar.
It was a good palate cleanser, I'll tell you that much.
Michelle Phillips, that is correct.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah, let's get something going on the Facebook page. I want to hear what you guys think of Midsommar. And hell, chime in on Echo in the Canyon as well. And let's all just get together and bash Jacob Dylan together, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right, goodbye, everyone.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.